I read, I got at Mountains of Madness when I was a teenager, and I think that was because I read, I heard of Lovecraft. I read a Stephen King non-fiction book, like about horror writing, I think it was called Dan's Macabre, and he mentioned Lovecraft a lot in there, and I was like, I was really into Stephen King at the time. So then I thought, oh, okay, well, I tracked down one of his books at the library. I got at the Mountains of Madness, I think it was about 13 or 14 at the time, and tried to read it and couldn't make head nor tail of it, to tell you the truth, at that stage. I think the writing was just sort of too dense for me, you know. But then I sort of gave it another go when I was a bit older, and I guess because I sort of still heard a lot of people talking about Lovecraft, so maybe when I was in my 20s or something, I gave it another go and I was able to penetrate the writing a bit better, I guess. And I really connected with it, and went on just to sort of read everything I could of his.
Clinton Green, som är ena halvan av The Unnameable, berättar på en telefonlinje från Melbourne om hur han först upptäckte H.P. Lovecraft. The Unnameable är ett projekt som är helt och hållet tillägnat Lovecraft, och namnet är taget från titeln på en av hans noveller. Men det hänvisar också till en av de sakerna som Clinton Green fastnade allra mest för med Lovecrafts berättelser. Nämligen att de handlar om sånt som egentligen är för fruktansvärt för att beskriva.
That the horror was always hinted at. That the horror is like something too terrible to see. I mean, that really appealed to me. You know, and sort of like the truth of the universe is too terrible to think about or to contemplate. So I think that, you know, that really opens up the imagination about, you know, what the truth and the horror could be. So that appealed to me. This is not when I was first read it, but when I was older, his prose really appealed to me as well. I really enjoyed reading, like, that distinctive writing style. The, you know, sort of like the sentences that fold back in on each other, if you like, you know. And that's probably the thing I like most about his writing today, really, is the actual style of the writing. It's so strange, but really enjoyable to read.
So how did you come to start this musical project, The Unnameable?
A friend of mine, who Andrew McIntosh, we're both involved in sort of like experimental music, and we discovered we both really liked Lovecraft's writing, and we were talking about Lovecraft, and we were talking about we discovered a few other sort of musical tributes to Lovecraft that we didn't really like. I can't remember any in particular, but okay. They were mostly sort of like, you know, heavy metal or sort of gothic or something like that. And we thought that wasn't really appropriate. We thought, you know, if there was going to be music for Lovecraft, it would be something a lot more atmospheric rather than, you know, less bombastic. So sort of fitting in with the hints that Lovecraft does, you know, he hints at things, things aren't up front. So we thought it would be good if there was something more atmospheric and subtle and abstract. Sometimes we've written things for specific stories, but other times it's more like just the whole Lovecraft, the sort of Cthulhu mythos atmosphere, really. On that CD, like we've come up with some phrases that we just pulled out of stories. For example, this no human shall do, and I can't even think what they're called now. It was a couple of years ago now. I can't even remember what they were called, but they were just sort of, you know, classic Lovecraft lines from stories. And we thought, well, that inspired a certain kind of atmosphere, like the line itself inspired a certain kind of atmosphere or ambience. And we thought, well, we will record some music that will try and convey that atmosphere, that feeling, you know, the feeling of either dread or, you know, of something primal, you know, something primal coming through the slime or something like that. Here we are. I've got some song titles here, like Life is a Hideous Thing and You Fool, Warren is Dead and The Orbit of Yagoth and things like that.
Jag frågar om man har någon aning om varför det verkar finnas så mycket musik som är influerad av Lovecraft, även om det då mest är metal. Och han svarar att det kan ha att göra med att metal-generationen också är en generation som var intresserad av skräcklitteratur. Men det kan ju finnas andra anledningar också.
Because the writing refers to, it just refers to so much stuff, rather than being the point of the story isn't so much the object, it's all these things that are hinted at and referred to, these unknown things, these unknown possibilities. So maybe, I don't know, maybe that opens up a whole lot of other possibilities for people in their art. We were doing some work, it was probably about 6 months ago, on like a something specific to At the Mountains of Madness.
Right.
So we've done some preliminary work on that, but it's sort of fallen by the wayside for now, but hopefully that'll come together again soon. So that's probably a bit different. We've actually written like a graphical score for it.
Uh-huh.
And we have done some preliminary recording. And the idea is it's like in four movements that follow through, and it follows through like a timeline of the book. Hopefully that will happen. But yeah, we haven't done any work on that for a little while, sort of other things have come up. But yeah, hopefully that'll be working on that in future.
På The Unnameables hemsida så beskriver de sin musik som resultatet av okulta experiment. Men jag borde såklart inte ha frågat om det ligger någon sanning i det eller inte. Det är så mycket roligare att få fortsätta vara osäker på sådana saker.
I don't believe it's true. But I like the mythology, and you know, mythologies don't have to be factual to be meaningful to people, I guess.